Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So here with our exercise from yesterday. When do you get punished? How do you get punished? Record and listen. Oh. All right. Here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, dear.
First caller.
No. There.
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hi.
Oh, this is Carol, and I've been traveling and sometimes out of range, and so I haven't been listening to the programs, and so Eagle's telling me I am really on the spot right now, but yeah, because I haven't been doing the exercise.
So pretty much you're living out this current assignment?
Yes. What was the current assignment? How are we making ourselves better? Was that what it was? Or
how are you punished? How are you punished?
How am I punished? Well, yes, this is the exact example right now.
So prove once again that we're never behind, Carol. We're never anywhere but where we are.
I know. It's so totally amazing because I want to join in and participate in practice, and so I call, and then wham, you know, just like that.
Yes, just like that.
Yeah.
Yep. And we continue to fall for the notion that if we do the right thing, we'll receive kindness from that system inside the head. But that's just never going to happen, is it?
No, it's not. It's not. Yeah. No. And
any more that you want to say about punishment, how it happens and when it happens and all of that sort of thing? Or?
Well, yeah. I mean, punishment happens in the morning when I wake up with a grip of ego, you know, reviewing what happened last night or the previous day, and sometimes a little bit of you know, what's going to happen this day and how is it going to go and all that. That is just kind of punishment. Just, you know, listening to ego is punishment, is total punishment.
Yes, just being in relationship with that system is punishment.
Right. Yes, that's
it. it's no fun. And once we've been practicing for a while, we realize that even when it's being, in quotes, nice to us, it's still suffering. It is a suffering system. So even if it's saying what seems to be nice to us temporarily, it's just setting us up for the next punishment.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Well, I'm so glad everyone was here, and then I could call in. So thank you all very much.
Well, you're just as welcome as a day in May, even though it's June. Glad you're somewhere where you can be with us. Happy
yes,
to hear.
I am too. Thank you. Right. Bye.
Thanks, Carol. Bye bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Carol.
You're welcome.
Listening to ego is punishment. Mm-hmm. There's our next peace quote.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It takes a bit of paying attention to see the subtlety of that, right? Because there's so much conditioning that I'm not suffering. I mean, sometimes I suffer, but I'm not suffering now. But if we realize for an instant what's possible for us, then we realize that anything other than living in that possibility is suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's just so interesting that it's such a young orientation, right, that when we do something wrong, we're punished. From the perspective that somehow punishment is going to elicit a different behavior. And we carry that notion throughout our lives without recognizing that punishment is not imposed. it's not real. I mean, it's listening to a voice in the head.
Yes. Yes. Well, as we're fond of talking about in practice, you know, we don't make this stuff up, right? This world, deeply, deeply, I'll say this culture especially, but because only because I don't know about every other culture, but this culture especially deeply believes that punishment is what makes people good. If you punish people enough, they'll choose goodness. And I mean, we know for ourselves in our own experience that that's not true. Being punished doesn't make us want to be good. It makes us sad and depressed and angry and withdrawn and hurt and all kinds of things. But it doesn't inspire open-hearted goodness.
No, it doesn't. It negates the goodness.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Which is the point for ego.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're more vulnerable to it.
Yes.
As it reinforces our worthlessness, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Monica from Oakland.
Hey, Monica.
Hey, Monica.
Hey, I'm on BART, so let me know how it goes.
Good. It's going great so far.
Okay, good.
That's amazing.
Oh,
that's some quiet public transportation.
Yeah.
Huh.
And service. That's what's even more amazing. I loved this question so much because I was being punished. Well, I was like doing exercise and I'm like, oh my God, I'm being punished right now. And the habit is so deep. Like I had this experience where someone gave me some feedback and it wasn't criticism, it was loving, the I'm in trouble, I'm going to be punished is so, God, it's just so grooved. And so the exercise came just at the right time because I was recording about it and, you know, at least be able to see that I really wasn't, that the only thing that was punishing me was, you know, the voices.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I still kind of feel identified. Like, I'm not quite disidentified from it, but I see it. So it's kind of an interesting, and kind of like.
You know you want to stand
ahead.
Up, right? That's what this is telling you, right? That you can feel yourself on that razor's edge. if you get distracted, if you fall asleep, it's going to drag you down into that torture place, right? If you can stay present and watch that residue in your system, feel the depth of the conditioning, but not sink down into it, then you know you get stronger and it gets weaker.
Yeah, that's good to remember. And I was thinking of also, when I was recording, I was remembering from the fear retreat of this thing that really, really was clear, is just speaking from that place of, like, what does it feel like to be punished? Like, what, it's just such a, it's so mean and so, like, it just cuts you off from anything, you know. It's just so small and so fearful.
Yes, yes. You know, Monica, you said something that I think is really important for us to underline, and that is an awareness of how deep that groove is to be punished. That it's deep. And I had the opportunity yesterday to be interviewed by a fellow who's writing a book on training dogs and from an awareness practice perspective, which is kind of fun. And what I was looking at with that is an abused dog, okay? And we've probably all been around an abused dog to see it, the combination of cowering and aggression that an abused animal will come from. And when you said that about how deep the groove is, what I saw was how much reassurance, loving kindness, compassion, presence is required to erase that groove.
Yes, yes, that's such a great image of the cowering and aggression.
Yes.
I can really relate to those two spaces, like in myself, like, am I cowering or am I being, you know, and that, yeah,
yes.
Just so much, yeah, just, I'm really glad I got on because I really need to remember how much it's going to take to, like, how much, like you said, love and compassion to kind of,
to
make
that
a
group.
New pathway.
That's
yeah.
Right. And, you know, with that dog, again, it only takes one yelling at it in order to bring all of that fear and aggression back. So it's loving kindness, loving kindness, loving kindness. You know, it can go on for months, and we lose our temper and yell at the dog, and everything is right back where it was, right? So that's it. That, I think, is a helpful image for us, too, to realize that when you have an experience like you had with that feedback, that it's going to activate all that fear and all that defensiveness. And each time we come through it, the loving kindness and compassion gets stronger, and that fear and defensiveness and aggression gets weakened. But just to remember the power of that system and how vigilant we must be to save save the creature, whether it's a two-legged,
yeah,
four-legged, or whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah, that's such an amazing, yeah, such a great image. And it's, yeah, because that groove can get activated even when the stimulus really isn't happening. You know?
Yeah. Yes.
Like,
yes. Yes.
So I guess that's what's good about
it.
The
system will activate it. The system will activate itself.
Yeah. And what's so great about this is that it was activated, but I had the awareness to know that I actually wasn't being punished and that I wasn't in trouble and that I wasn't being criticized, even though it felt like it or feels like it. You know?
Yes.
So it gives me that space, I guess, to come in with that compassion.
Exactly.
That's of a gap there.
Yes, and to hold the whole thing in awareness, which is how the transformation really happens. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great. That's great.
Great.
Thank you, Monica.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Monica.
Go happy.
Go happy.
Oh, that was such a powerful conversation, Sherry, that there's a way in which we can be aware of the groove, we can be identified with it, and we can also be in that place. It's such a complex place of knowing what we need to do in order to assist the person in that place, identified with that groove.
Yes. Yes. And that we're inhabiting, if you will, all of those perspectives simultaneously.
Yes, and it's the most confusing, and one that if we don't recognize it's happening in awareness can get so taken over by conditioning to interpret that as the punishment.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Rather than the process of freedom.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because, again, we are deeply conditioned not to recognize the very obvious fact that we are the awareness that is aware of it.
Yes.
We're so trained to believe that I'm the ego, I'm the one doing this, I'm the one suffering, I'm the one, and even the person can describe in minute detail everything about what's going on and fail to realize, that my actual experience is of being the awareness. The difficulty we have as conditioned human beings is that the awareness doesn't produce sensations, feelings, emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel punished. I feel criticized and judged. And there's an emotional reaction to that and all the sensations in the body and the stories that go with it. And that is, it becomes so much more compelling than the fact that I'm seeing all of it.
Exactly. I was just going there, that the feeling makes the punishment. Feeling makes the, it's the same. When I got punished and I wasn't aware, and when I feel punished and I am aware, feels the same way, but is not the same experience.
At all, huh? About
at all.
At least 180 degrees.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Bev from Kentucky.
Well, hello, Bev.
Hey, Bev.
I am happy to be here talking to you ladies. What a treat.
What a treat for us.
Well, I love what I'm learning as we move through this year is that I really don't know anything, you know. I just, it's like every day with every new lesson, I'm just like, I don't know anything, and that is really kind of a relief.
It is, isn't it?
Yes,
yeah.
And when it comes to punishment, I have found that it's just, when I find myself suffering in any way, shape, or form, the reason is because I'm listening and believing those voices. That's just pretty much standard. And,
yes, across the board, all the time, right? That is, there's no exception to that.
Yes, and what I have found is that they, it kind of reminds me of my daughter when she was a teenager. You know, when you would tell her no, she would get mad, and then when that didn't work, she'd get real helpful, you know, and that's the same process I see. It's almost like, you know, and it is, and so now, since I don't fall anymore for the really hateful thing, I see that. So now it approaches me in a very kind, like, oh, now you're committed to this right now, but oh, what about your mother? You need to call mom right now. You know, when I, but it's still the same. I really see if I'm committed to being present to one activity and it comes in and I stop to call my mom, then I'm not present with my activity.
That's right.
So
that's
I've really seen that a lot lately.
How and Beth?
It's using kindness to draw me in now.
Yes. And the giveaway of there, or the tell, I guess, is that after you call your mom, it doesn't say, oh, what a great human being you are. It says, well, now, weren't you committed, though, to that activity?
Yeah.
And didn't you get distracted? And
So it's been so good to see all this. And I am preparing in about a week and a half, I'm going to be come to my very first There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat. So I've prepared myself because I've heard so many other people say that as they prepare to do these things, they really get, you know, the voices really amp up. And one day something was going on. I was looking for something and it just dropped in. It's like, how could you be doing this wrong? You're going to a There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat. How could anything I do when I get there, if I bring something or I do something wrong, you know, that isn't in the guidelines, someone will very kindly guide me where I need to go. But it was just so funny. I'm thinking, how can I get beat up for going to There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat? So I like that I find it humorous now instead of
many times.
I find it humorous
instead
of just getting so caught up in all that angst.
It's all the difference, isn't it? And for
anybody
else who's thinking about going on retreat, that is just a marvelous insight for everybody. How could you, or just don't. We don't even have to ask how could you, but just don't fall for any voices that try to make you afraid of doing something wrong when you're going to a practice that the whole message is there's nothing wrong.
Right. And the last time I called, I was right in the middle of, I had two deaths back to back, and I had some really tough physical things going on, and I was overwhelmed with a lot of emotion. And I knew that's what it was, but I was still in its grip. And I can't tell you how much, if I had not been practicing so hard and, you know, so regular, I'm not even going to say hard, if practice weren't so natural to me now, my practice tools have gotten me through the last few months, and I don't know where I would be, and especially the things I'm committed to, like this call and my reflective listening buddy, and I was taking a group class at that time. Those things just were my salvation, because I would think, well, I've got a buddy call in a little bit. I'll be okay. You know, they just really helped me and my recording and listening. So you're so right when you say practice in the calm times, and it just comes to you in the tough times. So that's been my experience. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's so true. Yeah, it's so true. It's just quickly, at one point, there was a fire up here. And which we have a lot of, and I was helping a friend go into her house that was in the evacuation area to get out the treasures, and it was not possible to drive in. We actually had to jog in, get the stuff, and jog out. And she turned to me as we were jogging out and said, "Isn't it great when being physically fit pays off in really practical ways?"
Yes,
to me, yeah, that's an exact parallel for spiritual fitness, isn't it?
Point you made, that this is just like, you know, spiritual fitness is just exactly like any other task you want to master. So I am grateful, and I thank you both and everyone in the Sangha for knowing that you're out there, and I'm really looking forward to coming to the monastery.
Well, you travel safely, and we're looking forward to having you. So see you in a little while.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank
you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Bev. I love that. It is so true. The training process is exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be who we want to be. And it's easy to practice being who we want to be in easy times, and we do have a lot of easy times, and then when times aren't easy, our fitness is there for us.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right, here's our next caller, Sherry. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi. This is Phil.
Hey, Phil. You weren't expecting that. You're unmuted, were you?
Well, I just, my phone, you know how they go blank? So I didn't remember if I had unmuted or not.
uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Because I couldn't see the button. But I had.
Mm-hmm.
So here I am.
Okay, good.
And
here you are.
I'm very happy to be here. And this has been a great conversation. And so is yesterday's. I found yesterday's very wonderful too, and when I was actually listening to yesterday's again this morning, and you know, and I was having this exercise of being punished in my awareness, and I thought, now I don't know, you can tell me what you think, but it seemed like what I was looking at is that, because I get punished in, I think somebody was mentioning, the kind of more subtle way where you know, conditioning might win a bamboozle, you know, and I fall for it. And I, what I'll do, what I think what happens in the system, what it does to me is, okay, so then there's this drop in energy and I'm feeling bad. I know.
Fell for it again.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, and it might even just be for a bit, but it's there. And if I don't notice that that's what's happened, it can linger. All right. So, and it loves to do it. One of its favorite places is right at the end of meditation. And it's really good.
May I just interrupt you for a second?
Yeah.
Because your image is so good for what we talk about all the time. What you're describing is being present and feeling ego suck the life force out of you, right? It does it through attention, right? So it says, you just wasted another 30 minutes sleeping. Actually, you've been sitting there meditating, and there's a lot of energy that has built up. And in that, you turn attention to it for a split second, and you can just feel it go, boom. The energy just leaves your body, and you're left feeling depleted.
That's right. That's right, and it's been my signal to know what's going on, drop, in energy. That's why I love the paying attention to the energy. And
that's why it's great. One more quick thing. That's why it's great when that happens to say, ha, gotcha.
Yes.
And you'll have the energy right back.
Yes. And then I saw something because that is it. That is exactly what happens. But then I saw something that something happened this week that it was turned out to be a kind of not the way I wanted it to happen, kind of what you could call a mistake, but, not the end of the world or anything. And
At one time in our lives, we would have called it a mistake rather than a growth.
Oh, it had been the end of the world. It had been the end of the world. So, I went out and recorded and listened, did the twin recording, all this. But what I saw this morning is that if I notice I'm feeling bad and have been in that place, sometimes you just can't say ha, and I gotcha, at least it seems. And what I saw is from yesterday's call that if in that very moment that I know what's going on, I can move, not forever, not just for a little bit, from the feeling bad to feeling sad. And then that feeling sad, I thought it was so great yesterday what you're saying, and I realized it's true. With that is a movement, because there's a poignancy in sad that's not conditioned for me, anyhow. It's kind of, I don't want to say mixed with joy, but it's certainly mixed with something. And I can see that movement then to, like we were talking yesterday, like opening the heart and feeling the compassion, for the situation or the being or whatever needs compassion, and then it moved right out.
Okay, I'm going to slip in another word rather than sad, because a lot of people would fall for sad as a quick trip to depression.
Yes.
I'm going to suggest disappointment.
Yeah, that would be it. That would be it, exactly.
That you feel disappointed that something happened. Maybe you were unconscious. Maybe you said something unfortunate in a moment of unconsciousness, and you're disappointed that happened, that you weren't there. But there's no room in that for it to be wrong or for you to be punished. You're just, it's a redoubling the commitment to being present so that those things don't happen again.
Yes, because that's what I saw. If I can move even a little bit, like to disappointment, let's say that word, it's a better word, then there's the ability to, like you were saying yesterday, to, again, the heart opens for the person that's disappointed, and and maybe whatever else is in the situation, if there's others involved, maybe I like the way it said it broke and then it gets stronger, but the point is, then from that place, and we said yesterday, I think there's that movement, like with that, decide, I can do this and I can do that. Mm-hmm. And it's not squelching, and I don't even mean a doing, but, you know, just on the internal level, it would be, like you said, moving to, well, it's the way through to me, is to the awareness of there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
And that's
kind
of what happens.
And I want to offer another one while we're on this subject, because you've created a big opening here for these things. So say you're in the situation, and let's go back to the meditation, and then it comes in with, oh, you just wasted another half an hour. Even if you don't feel like you can say, gotcha, what we can say is, oh, I see you. Oh, I see what you're doing. You're taking the energy, aren't you? And in that moment, it will disappear, and you will have the energy back.
Yeah, you're so right. You're so right. It's just a matter of seeing it for what it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. All righty. Bye.
Bye bye.
And that brings us to the end of the show, Sherry. And our assignment for today is, when are you good to yourself? Report and listen.
Oh, and I hope everybody really takes a moment to take in the enormity, the magnitude, the whatever it is, of the phrasing of that question.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Very good.
Thank
you. Thanks, Ashwini. Thanks, everybody. Treasure yourself.